We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hey, gentlemen, show and Clinton show. I love your show. You guys are great.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Oh, show, Clint. I love the show, man.
You guys are by far my favorite show to listen to.
I love what y'all do. I'm in love with the show, man.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
I love you guys. You guys are amazing, man.
Listen to the show. Really like what you guys are doing.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right. Day 42, still no signs of Nasty Ass Jim. Please let us know if you are still with the living.
I am retired and damn near expired.
Let's hope not. Clint, hey, y'all. Clint's been up all night. Well, he got up real early. What time did you get up this morning?
By 5:15, 5:30.
5:15, huh?
5:15, 5:30. Wow, dude.
Got him a workout in. I
got a workout in while the baby and mama was getting that last little bit of sleep in this morning.
So you get to training camp, so he's able to put your eyes on the boys.
Got me a workout in, got over to training camp, got watched a little bit of practice and eased
on your feet, out the shade and in the heat.
That's right. Eased over, got me a little bite to eat, worked on my little college football stuff that got going a little bit, and then spent a couple hours in there with OTs prepping a little bit.
There you go. So you've been out and up and going. So 4 o'clock, boy. Look out.
I will be all right, man. Ain't no hill for a stepper, baby. Ain't no hill for a stepper.
Get him a Red Bull or something.
Ain't no hill for a stepper.
Cheryl, get him some coffee. Would you, Cheryl?
Yeah, somebody is going to, because I can see it. I can see it tumbling down by Clinton. Well, no, it's a segment with his name on it. So I think he'll get himself in.
Oh, I'll get through that one. It's usually about 4:23 when I ease on back.
He'll circle the wagons with Clint Sterner's ball at four. All right, the big news of the day is, all right, we heard yesterday, and we saw yesterday, Kenyon Green was out, at least outside at practice, right? We hadn't even been seeing him out on the field, even as you said yesterday, taking mental reps.
Where are they?
I don't know, Deion, and you're eight toes. I don't know where he has been, but he hadn't been out there. So he was out there yesterday. Then we heard that it's a touchy subject here. We heard that Lovey had gone on a national Sirius XM station and told them that he has been suffering from a concussion and battling back from concussion.
Some things you just don't do.
That's right, Lovey. And then today we find out, hell, he ain't just watching practice, Clint. He's full go.
Full go.
In pads, you know, helmet on. We're seeing all the pictures and getting reps. This was Lovie Smith speaking about the return of Kenyon Green.
When a player goes down, I mean, I think it's a good thing to be able to work on your depth. Preseason games, to be able to work on a lot of your depth. But as a young player, I mean, we want every young player to take every rep. It doesn't happen like that. But there's still time. Kenyon missed some time, but, you know, we have, you know, two more preseason games. As long as we get a player some action before, you know, they've had a lot of practices. So it's not like, you know, we're just throwing him out there cold turkey. We kind of like the way he's going.
All right, Kenyon. So Kenyon Green is back practicing. First, what did you just set the scene for the folks out there that couldn't see it? How active was he? Was he thrust right in? Who was he running with? How much did you?
He was running with the threes. They did ease him back into practice. I didn't count the reps or anything, but he was running with the threes. What's most important is he was out there. He was full go. He was getting reps. And you got 3.5 weeks ultimately before he has to be ready to play in an NFL game in terms of a game that means anything. So you got 3.5 weeks before week one versus Indy is here. You got plenty of time to get the young fella ready. And that's what I love about what Lovey just said right there is boy, he didn't say that Kenyon Green was going to be a starter, that Kenyon Green was going to play week one, but he damn sure alluded to the fact that, hey, look, we're still 3.5 weeks out. A guy just needs a little bit of run in the preseason in order to be ready. And they got plenty of time to get him ready. Whether he's running with the threes, whether he's running with the ones, the twos, doesn't matter at this time. I encourage people, look, don't believe the hype. Don't believe what you hear. This offensive line needs, and I said needs, and if I were typing it out, I'd capitalize all five letters. Needs Kenyon Green on the field on Sundays.
No argument there.
Period. And I'm not talking. I mean, and I've made the point of, well, they need Kenyon Green to get the 17 games worth of experience and be a vet next year, and that's nice. But when it's all said and done,
he's the best option.
They need him at left guard in order to run the football.
He's the best option, and twofold. What you said, like, hey, you want him to get the experience and to grow, but he's also the best option.
No question.
I mean, he's better than Sirens. Stop calling that man. He's better than Sharping.
Hold on,
McCray, who I like, but he is better than those guys. You need him in there to get himself ready and to be prepared and to get the experience, and because he gives you the best option, right? You can just see that right now. And like you said, what Lovey said, 3 weeks. I didn't know, man. I was concerned. I thought it was a real thing that was on the table that he potentially won't be ready to go right away when the season starts, because he just didn't know when he was going to practice.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't know what the next step is. So now he is out, and I think a point you have made is with this injury, there's not an easing back in. Like, this is an injury where if they clear him to play, like, he's going to play and get normal reps. And we should hopefully see him shoot up the depth chart and shoot up running from – if he's with the threes today – I don't think he's going to play on Friday, but hopefully in the middle of next week he's with the twos and maybe getting prepared to be with the ones before the final preseason game, which you can kind of hang out with us. Make sure you're listening 3 to 5 o'clock hour for that. But like, you feel like the time now makes sense where he can move up the depth chart.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't play this week. I mean, if he had a bad wheel and was his first practice since his knee. If it was a knee issue or a surgery that had was bothering him or something, then I think it's a different deal. When it's a concussion and they clear you to practice, they don't clear you to practice and go, hey, coach, you got to take it real light on him. You can't do it. I mean, you clear it for practice. He's cleared for practice. He can get in there. The offensive and defensive line, they're going to bang heads around a little bit. Even in the slow motion jog through type stuff they're doing right now, they're going to – he's cleared. And so there's no reason not to play him unless he doesn't know the playbook. And he has been a Houston Texan for an extended period of time. He should know the playbook well enough to get into a preseason ball game in the second half, late in the first half, and execute some plays. I wouldn't be shocked if he plays this week.
So you could see, you could see him playing against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him playing. I could see him playing. Barring a setback, I could see him playing this week. In terms of the left guard position, I don't think you have a legit first teamer that's going to go in there and play two series. So I would imagine that they're going to they would spread the reps out pretty evenly. But at some point in time, I wouldn't be shocked if Kenyon Green got in there this weekend.
This is one thing I want to know, because we say this. I think this is just something that is said. How important is it that he gets game time next to Laremy Tunsil? Like, how important?
It'd be beneficial.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Texans just aren't in a position to where that's the luxury that they have right now. Like, right now, you're going to play guys earlier than they should play. You're going to make guys priorities that may not be the best player at today. Like, here's the deal with, like, Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green may not, and I don't know this to be, I think he's the best left guard you got, and I don't think it's close. However, right now today, when you factor in experience and you factor in the playbook and you factor in the recent practices that he's missed, you could argue that there's one of the other guys may be a tad bit better than him, a better option at left guard than him right now today, based on everything that's happened. But when it's all said and done, if Kenyon Green gets a month's worth of football games, he's going to be better week five than McCray and Sharping are going to be week 17.
Agreed.
I mean, when it's all said and done, he's the guy that as he gets experience, he's going to improve. He's going to get significantly better. He's going to play eventually at some point at or above his ceiling, which is really, really high. And you got to get, how quickly can you get him to a point where he's playing at or above his ceiling? That's it. That's the priority. That's the game. It's not, well, right this second, he's not the best guy. And so he's going to run second team and he'll get a couple of reps in practice. No, you got to fast track this guy. I think Kenyon Green ends up being the left guard day one.
Yeah, I hope so. And now I think there's an actual chance now that he's back practicing.
Well, it changes the game for me with, the concussion versus the knee. Like, if it were a surgery that we didn't know about that may have gone a little bit awry and he's having some complications, or there was an injury where he just can't get on the field. He just can't support his weight and he just can't figure out what it is, and they're debating, should he go have surgery? Should he sit the season? Should he not? You know, that's a scary situation for a 330-pounder.
Well, now they've cleared him.
He's cleared.
Yeah.
Should be good to go.
All right. Listen, I think that made everybody happy, right? This is one of your first-round picks that you want to see, right? Everyone's excited to see Derek Stingley. Kenyon Green was the other one. So this was good for camp.
Yeah.
Was it all good for camp for you as you watched camp with the offense today?
No, it wasn't good for me. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but this is about I know it's the second, if not the third time, and I know I haven't seen every single rep.
We get more than a molehill, but
sure. Sure. I'm gonna keep Bill kicking his dirt up in this mound here. When it's all said and done, it is just the simplest way I can explain Nico Collins in offensive football is when a defense decides they're going to leave you matched up with a corner, and they're going to put that corner at about 8 yards, and he's going to be backpedaling at the snap, or they're going to put him at 6 yards, and he's going to be back, whatever it may be, and the quarterback decides, Nico's the guy, I'm going to him right now. You can't drop the ball, man. We come out there today.
You had issues. Well, this is the first time in practice.
And it seems like I know the people that don't play the game or haven't coached the game. It's like, man, just quit killing the dude over. It is exactly what Nico Collins has to do to take the next step is, When I read the defense as a quarterback, I need to be in a mode where I got Nico Collins to my left. If they single him up at all, Nick in the corner soft, I'm going to take that 5 yards, and if he breaks a tackle, he's going to hit his head on the goalpost. I need to be able to trust that. I've watched Nico Collins in those situations. Happened again today. The slot receiver cleared out the defender. He runs the old-school Peyton Manning box route. They got picked off. I believe it was a pick six in the Super Bowl. But the little 5 yard and stutter, and then come straight down the yard line, and ball hits him right in the face. I mean, it's just like, and he drops it. Though, like, big bodied, sure handed.
That sounds like similar to something that you said a couple weeks ago.
That's it. It seems so minimal. It's just like, it's a huge deal. If I can't go to Nico Collins when they single him up on first down and assure myself to be in second and five, second and three, hell, maybe even first and 10 with a chunk play, then what are we doing? If your number two receiver that's built the way Nico Collins is built, that's a boundary receiver, I don't need him to be DeAndre Hopkins. I don't need him to be Andre Johnson. I need you at this point in time to prove that you can be a reliable option for the quarterback when they load the box up to stop the run with an extra defensive back, with an extra safety, and they put you on an island with a corner. I need to know as a quarterback and as a play caller that I can depend on you to take the easy money. Take the profit, man. Huddle back up second and three. My playbook is wide ass open second and three. I got options, man. Hard to lose at second and three. I got to get back in the huddle and second and 10 because you dropped the ball. That is going to be difficult to overcome for this football team. This football team is going to have to do the simple thing savagely well at a degree that other teams won't have to. Like, they have to do, in order to have a chance, they have to do it flawlessly. And Nico Collins is struggling with that right now.
Yeah, and I could just see, as a former quarterback, that is just taking you.
Oh, up. I got a chance in the league because we in college we did this. Me and Anthony Lucas did this to a. I mean, it's taking candy from a baby. Most coaches don't. It's simple, stupid, elementary football 101. And a lot of game planners and play designers out there, they just don't take the cheap stuff when they want to give it to you. But boy, you get a coordinator that'll really just, hey man, any point in time, if that corner is 8 yards off and he's pedaling that snap, give it to Nico right now. You can get so many just easy first 5 yard gains on first down. Defense then to make a decision. Whereas if Nico can't be consistent in making that catch, much less go make plays afterwards, if he can't consistently make that catch.
We've seen it happen multiple times in practice.
Yeah.
What do you think the mindset of Davis Mills is?
Davis sitting in a spot where he can have a negative mindset about anybody at this point in time.
I know, but he's got to be thinking something, right? Hell, you weren't at that spot in Dallas, but if you keep going over there to a person and you're seeing drops, thinking, right?
The problem is him and Pep aren't behind the scenes going, hey, man, you see Nico today? That's an easy five, wasn't it? We need to take that more often. They're not sitting there watching film and going, hey, coach, we just watched an hour's worth of film. We just watched 30 plays. And there were four times I could have threw a smoke route to Nico Collins when the corner was 8 yards off and pedaling, and we didn't do it. Instead, we ran it for -2. Instead, we threw a low percentage ball. Man, why don't we just stand up and give that thing to Nico? Right? Like that. That's where you want the – because it's so simple, stupid football, but it's good football. And that's where you want to get with him. And it's just not – they're just not there. I mean, that's the reality of it is. And that's why it takes me to, like, I'm really, the one thing that I disagree with the coaching staff and how they're treating players, Nico Collins does not need to be treated like DeAndre Hopkins.
You think he's being treated like that?
Bro, he played two series last week. I'm talking about game reps. Like, Nico Collins doesn't, like, his ass needs to play. Like, I mean, he needs to be
like
in.
How long do you think he should be in the game?
Until I get tired. Like, Nico Collins should at least play the first quarter, if not the first half. Like, has Nico Collins done anything that you've been at a ton of practices, you've watched every game. Nico done anything for you to I'm gonna rest this guy as if he's the season hinges on him.
I'm not impressed. But I mean if he should I think he should probably go out when the bulk of the starters go out. Right, like if Davis Mills.
He should not go out when Laramie Tunsil, Justin Britt, when those guys go out, and Brandon Cooks, no.
Well, those guys didn't start the game. But, like, if they go out and they play Friday and Davis plays, three series, I'm fine with him going out.
Yeah, I disagree. I Nico Collins shouldn't be – like, he shouldn't be – he's not tied at the hip with your starting quarterback. He's not tied at the hip with your number one receiver. He's not tied at the hip with your
on this team.
No. I mean, he hasn't earned it. He hasn't. I mean, unless they're the handful of practices that the media couldn't attend, unless Nico Collins just went.
No. I'm not saying he's earned it. I'm just saying they have to view him as a starter, and they're going to take probably injury into the thought process. I don't know if I need him working with Driscoll.
Yeah, I do. I need him working live action as often as we possibly can, and I need to see him go make plays. This is where I'm at with Nico. I don't the treatment as if he is Deontay. I mean, not Deontay, Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins or man. We got to get some run now. Nico needs some run.
All right, second night in a row, a bad taste left in the Astros' mouth as they lose again, late innings, even with their ace on the mound. We'll discuss what the hell happened in Chicago next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
First two games of this series against the White Sox ain't exactly going...
Painful, boy.
Yeah. It's not good.
Just a little stat, and we're not normally stats. The Astros were 62-5 when leading after six innings going into this series. 62-5. And they lost two in a row with that scenario. And this time, this one really ain't on Dusty. In terms of how he handled it, I mean, I would have left Verlander in as well, and Verlander wasn't able to hold it. But then the bullpen gives up another late run.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
You and me both, D.
Wow, Tyler.
It
felt like a nut ripping off? God, that's a little strong.
I mean, the combination of last night with the night before, yeah, man.
Okay, all right.
I was laid up in the biscuit with my wife watching that game.
And
I agree with old Bryce right
nuts
there.
Off,
I agree with old Bryce the right nuts, there.
It felt the like it ripped right my nuts off.
Well, yeah.
you got to look up Bryce, too. You got to see what Bryce looks like.
It's tough. But I don't want to make it a huge deal. But it ain't nothing, though. Right? Like, when you get into playoff type games, which I feel like these two with the atmospheres, the teams, and how are, when you lose two late games like that, and the way you lose them is your bullpen and guys that you're going to have to count on in the postseason, Verlander unable to hold it there, a guy you're definitely gonna have to count on, your lineup, like we keep talking about this bullpen and stuff, but what's that? Two runs yesterday, three runs. Today.
Same.
Or I mean, the first two games of the series, two and three runs. Their offense not coming through as well later in the innings. It ain't a huge deal. I'm not doubting the Astros, but I mean, it is something, right?
Well, look, I think it's something. It's one of the. I mean, I believe it's one of the better teams. I know over these two games, it's been one of the better teams that they faced all year long.
At least pitching.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking about a handful of the, If you throw in over the season, if you throw in the top 10 games that the Astros have played against the best opponents, I think that the White Sox would probably be in there to some degree. But anyway, especially with Cease throwing being the pitcher opposite Verlander. But anyway, the point is, is over the two game span here, it's been ugly for the Astros in a major way. Whether it's the Dusty topic yesterday or the Montero bullpen topic yesterday, which I also believe that the lineup situation with Dusty, not yesterday, in game one versus the White Sox, you had some big bats up late in that ball game, left runners on base, and your big bats didn't come through. And Chicago's bats did come through. Their first, second, and third hitter in their lineup went single, double, double to take the lead in game one. And their 3-4-5 hitters, 3-4-5-6 hitters last night went walk, single, double play, single, and took the lead 4-3. They're late in games. Their hitters had good discipline plate appearances, either drew a walk or had good contact and got singles, moved runners and scored runs, and the Astros didn't. And so this two game stretch, you can look from Dusty if you want, through the lineup to the bullpen. I mean, you can look up and down the Astros roster and up and down the dugout there in the clubhouse, and you can find a negative that's happened over these last two games.
Yeah, I think a big piece is, like, in the last two games, this is primarily people you're going to have to count on.
Yeah.
Dusty, Verlander, Neris, Montero, the lineup. As you said, man, bottom of the ninth, you're down one run. You get the top of the order up. You're like, all right, top of the order up. Got a chance. That was quick.
Yeah.
That was quick.
I mean, Altuve's been up in the top of the ninth both times. Popped, yep. Fouled out. Foul pop both times. Alvarez looked awful last night. His last two at bats. I mean, that is just. I mean, it's almost like he's disinterested in being there. And it's we need you.
Either
I mean,
that or press it, because anything in the dirt. He normally has a great eye. He is swinging at everything in the dirt. So yeah, I mean they didn't have it. I mean, you would think, like, all right, man, God,
let's make it interesting.
But here, man, let's do something. You would love to have this group up. By the way, with that too, like, that bottom of the ninth is why another reason why I think Bregman has to jump up. Like, he's got to be in that top three. I feel like it's just the feel of, like, Bregman, he's got to get one of those at-bats. Like, I just, if Bregman, and he is the one who is swinging the bat really well of everybody, like, I really think he should be in the two spot. I really think he should be in that spot, and it was just like, damn, he's left on the bench while, you know, Yuli gets another at bat. But as you said, their big guns are not coming through. Now, I think we would both agree, when the postseason comes, it's not an actual feel that we believe that these guys are going to come through. It's just right now, you look at it and you're like, these are two games that have playoff feel, and your guys didn't come through.
Yeah.
And theirs did. Yeah, it was tough. Justin Verlander, who still –
Well, there was an interesting – I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was an interesting exchange last night. It was like Maldonado
– Oh, yeah, they were going at it.
Right before the double, the two-run double that tied the ball game at three.
By Gavin Sheets, yeah.
They're going at it, and they're Maldonado was very animated. They both – it's like they can't come to a decision. Well, they look to the –
They had to get the pitching coach.
They call the pitching coach out there. And the pitching coach comes out there and looks like he's like he's between two teenagers fighting and telling them what the hell is going
to
happen.
Never wanted to see Brent Strom more in my life.
No question. And then Sheets yanks one down the line, and I immediately thought,
who was wrong?
I wonder who. Yeah, exactly. Who wanted that pitch? Who won the standoff on the mound? And boy, I wonder. I saw Verlander later in the game showing him and Maldonado looking at the iPad, looking at the video. Boy, I would love to know who was right, who was wrong, and what happened.
Yeah, man, I want to know, man. Verlander, after the game, he spoke about yesterday's outing.
A little frustrated, obviously, but, I mean, gosh, it was a tough day all around. It seemed like every time they put the ball in play, weekly, it was a hit, and they hit a couple hard, it were outs. It's like, I mean, whatever. Keep working, keep doing my routine, and these guys have, both times I faced them, given me really good at-bats, pretty much the entire lineup, so today was a challenge.
Anytime you give up some runs to the bottom of the order, does that not at you a little bit more than other times?
I mean, it doesn't matter, bottom of the order, top of the order, middle of the order, it doesn't, no. I mean, don't like giving up runs, especially in a situation late like that. Not happy about it.
Yep, Verlander in the playoffs, Verlander on the mound, seventh inning, 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
You got to win that game. Cannot lose in the postseason. Cannot lose those games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, and here's the thing. I mean, with Verlander last night is, I mean, good gosh, man. I mean, he's bumping 98. His 100th pitch was 98 miles an hour. So he's not he's not fatiguing. Right? I mean, he's not exhausted. He's clearly he hasn't lost command. He's bumping 98. And he's up. There's a pinch hitter at the plate that hadn't seen him once the whole game. So there's just no. I mean, it was a no brainer. Beside the fact that it was Verlander, it's a no brainer to leave him in there. The guy just the guy just was aggressive and got a good one, man.
Yeah, he was. But we'll keep at it as they play game three tonight. Framber, another chance for them to try to get on the board in this series. Make sure you are listening to the Hutopia podcast. New episodes every Tuesday and Friday. So one coming up is Sean Pendergast and John McClain. They cover all things Texans, both on and off the field, and get you ready for Friday's matchup against the Rams as they get ready for the second preseason game. You can listen to that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. All right, there was some bold predictions, and I like bold predictions. There were some bold predictions by Pro Football Focus about your Houston Texans. There's three of them. We'll see how many of them we can actually get behind. That's coming up next.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Your chance coming up, 3 o'clock hour. Make sure you're listening. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. Two more opportunities today. Two more opportunities, your final opportunities to win a pair of tickets to hang out with us in the Sports Radio 610 suite for the third preseason game against the Niners. 3 o'clock hour, 3 and 5 o'clock hours. Or when you can win, you make sure you are listening in those hours coming up. And if you missed it, Lovey said guys will play a little bit more on Friday. And then he said, as Clint has suspected, he said the guys will play a lot more in the third preseason game. And that is that game against the Niners where you'll have a chance to win tickets coming up. Yeah, so hang in with us 3-5 o'clock hour, the final two times this week. Your chance to win. All right, Pro Football Focus did their bold predictions for all the teams. They did their bold predictions for the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans. Let's run through them. Let's see if you can get behind these. Like, and we understand they're bold, right? There's a bit of a step out there, right? You know, not something like, oh, Davis Mills will throw for 2,500 yards. No, bold predictions. It says the Texans will have two defenders with 50-plus pressures. Two different guys that have 50-plus pressures. Is that one you can get behind?
Yeah, I believe it's likely. Jerry Hughes, as they mentioned in the article, as PFF mentioned in the article, Jerry Hughes has averaged 52 over the last 6 years. So I think there's a really good chance he'll get there. And Jonathan Grenard, I think, is a no-brainer. So two defenders with 50-plus pressures in 17 games. I think there's a pretty good chance they get there.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah, Jonathan Grenard, you know how I feel.
Yeah,
I mean, if Jonathan Grenard don't get 50 plus pressures, I'm in a lot of trouble. At least my wallet is. But yeah, Jerry. The other one is the second one. I just don't know. It's Jerry Hughes, Green, Addison. That collection. I wonder if one of them gets there.
Yeah.
Is a collection of them, maybe one of them. But I do feel like, I think we can agree, their pass rush feels like it's going to be better. At least up front, with their front four, which is what Lovey wants to do, it feels like at least their pass rush is going to be better.
Yeah, look, I think when you got Malik Collins in there and whoever your second interior defensive lineman is in obvious passing situations with Hughes and Grenard outside, Rasheem Green would probably be the one that they move inside on in an obvious passing situation, but Mario Addison's out there as well. I think Jerry Hughes will separate himself as a especially in passing situations as the defensive end opposite Jonathan Grenard, and I would expect those two to go get at least 50 pressures. Look, I mean obviously they have to stay healthy to get it done, but I feel like both of those guys have shown enough either by what they've averaged over the last several years. So who am I to argue with an average, or Jonathan Grenard, who has shown the ability to, if he can just stay healthy, I think he gets to 50 easy.
Yeah. All right. That one feels right. The second one, Nico Collins will flirt, and we've talked about Nico Collins a bit, but Nico Collins will flirt with 1,000 yards receiving.
This one's tough for me to arrive at. 1,000 yards, you've got to be dependable. You've got to be a go-to guy. I mean, you've got to flirt with 100 catches. I'd like to think Nico Collins is going to be that guy, and I think Pep Hamilton is going to try his damnedest to get him there. But I'm not convinced that Nico Collins over a 17-game stretch is going to be consistent enough to go out there and give you that kind of production. I think there's a chance that he could have some decent grabs in the red zone, some 50-50 balls he may go up and get. But consistently going out there and being a guy that Davis can rely on to go get the sheer number of targets that I think you need to get to 1,000 yards. Although it's easier over 17 games, this one's tough for me to arrive at. So especially after what I saw today, once again at practice, where the easy stuff, they're giving you 5 yards, and Nico's shown the tendency to drop those, not finish the play. So. I just 1,000 yards in the league. If you just do the math, it doesn't seem real hard to get there. But for some reason, there's not a whole hell of a lot of guys that do it.
Clint, to me, if he's flirting is like 900. If he's flirting with it, it would to me feel like the Texans are hell bent on trying to get him 1,000 yards, right? Just with. The amount of targets that they would – I mean, it would feel like they're forcing it to him because, you would think Cooks is going to get more targets.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Would think Cooks is going to – the way that we're seeing the offense move right now, Brevin Jordan seems to be a big – the thought's going to be a big part of it.
Yep.
And then they Lovey wants to run the football. Like, Lovey – nothing about Lovey Smith. And even Pep Hamilton, we don't know what he's going to be. And even – like, Pep Hamilton's just like, let's sling this thing around. Now they want to run the football and probably, be more conservative than others.
Yep.
And to think that Nico, I would think at the very best, the third passing option to me behind Cooks and probably one of the tight ends, if not Brevin Jordan, that's hard to think to him get to 1,000 yards.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to get behind. I mean, if he had proven in this camp, like, consistently – and maybe if we'd seen more in the first game, it would help. But if he were a guy that, like, Pep and Davis Mills could lean into, like I've said many a time, just feed him the rock whenever the corner's soft kind of thing, then I could see him getting to 1,000 yards. But if he's going to rely on being the focal point in a route combination, which we all know it's going to be Brandon Cooks, everything's going to happen to get Brandon Cooks be the primary receiver, right? And then I think when it comes to your run actions, your bootlegs, things of that nature, I think Brevin Jordan's going to factor into that right there. So I'm on record. I believe Brevin Jordan's going to be the second leading receiver on this team behind
Cooks,
behind Brandon Cooks.
I would
Cooks.
Agree with that.
But
I just don't think they're going to throw the ball a lot. Because if you're going to say he's going to flirt with 1,000, then damn sure Brandon Cooks is going to get 1,000. And he just does it every year anyway.
Yeah.
For them to have a guy with 1,000 and another guy flirting with 1,000, and that guy be who we both think is the third passing option on this team, that would be interesting. And I would say this, Clint, if we're talking about the best chance for them to win every Sunday, you know, to me, the way that that makes sense is probably playing good defense, turning the ball over, Dameon Pierce being big in the run game and controlling the line of scrimmage, and then, you know, making plays off of play action. And that doesn't fit to
– Well, just – I'm looking at Cook's numbers from last year's show. And we're all on record of talking about the chemistry that Cooks has. The way in which he can be used in multiple creative ways, right? Brandon Cooks had 90 catches last year for 1,037 yards, 6 touchdowns. Going into this season, do I believe that Nico Collins is going to have the same chemistry that Brandon Cooks has? Do I believe Pep Hamilton is going to target and make Nico Collins the primary receiver the way that he did with Brandon Cooks? I think the answer is no. The year before in 2020, when Deshaun had the big year, 81 catches, 1,150 yards for Brandon Cooks. I mean, man, there's
– If I'm not mistaken, Deshaun led the league in passing yards, and I think Brandon Cooks was the only one who had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he was. They were spreading it around.
Yeah, Will Fuller had got suspended, but only one who had 1,000.
Yeah, I mean, look at his big year in 18 in L.A., 80 catches, 1,204 yards. I mean, are we thinking that Nico Collins is going to get close to that? Those kind of numbers?
I mean, flirting with it to me, I'd be surprised if Nico gets to 700.
I mean, there were times they tried to force the football to him last year, and I think he ended up just shy of 500. So, I mean, he didn't even get halfway there when they were forcing the ball to him last year. Yeah, I don't see it.
They're kicking the games off this year, forcing it to Chris Conley. So, I don't know. Hell, maybe he's fourth of the receiver group.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, man.
Either. All right, and the final one of their bowl predictions, Laremy Tunsil will be traded this year.
Hoo-wee. I'm gonna say yes, because I think Laremy Tunsil will be a highly sought after player, even at the number at the money he's at. I don't believe
the money he's at is not even as bad as you would have thought it, like when he signed it.
Right, when he signed it. I don't believe that Nick Caserio is wants to pay a left tackle that kind of money. I don't believe that he's comfortable with paying a guy that kind of money that's not going to be there every step of the way in the offseason kind of deal. I don't think Lovie Smith appreciates him not being there in the offseason when they're trying to rebuild. So I believe if they get a chance to move Laremy Tunsil, I think they do it.
Oh, yeah, if they get the chance, yeah. You would have thought he would. They probably had some calls during the offseason. And I was surprised they didn't move him. I thought, like, because to me, I'm thinking to myself, if they got a second, I'd take it and move him and just move on and move Titus Howard to the left. But I wonder what they were getting. We'll see. We just saw an injury happen with the Jets, and they quickly scooped up Dwayne Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know how many others are out there. Right, and it's got to be a team that probably thinks they got a real shot if we're taking that on or close to it.
Yeah, you would think so. And look, he may be the dude that you know, Lovie and Nick want. I just, reading the tea leaves, if you will, it just seems like there's several things that there's several reasons Nick is not necessarily in love with or committed to Laremy Tunsil. And nothing, I think Laremy's a monster. I think he's a hell of a player. As a quarterback, I'd love to have him protecting my backside, no question about it. But you asked the question, is this team, is this general manager, is he comfortable paying a backside tackle $20 million a year? That's literally there 17 weeks out of the season, do a little training camp in 17 weeks out of the season. I think they would prefer not spending the money, and they would prefer their leaders on their offensive line and their offensive unit as a whole to be there consistently.
Losing the game last night for the Astros, that wasn't the only bad news to come out of it. There is other potential bad news. We'll give you an update on that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.